Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Hello there, and welcome to Words of Praise. Our Bible teacher is Dr. Donald R. Hubbard, and I'm your host, Jeff Apthorpe. We are excited about the new opportunities which the Lord is giving us to share this Bible study with increasing numbers of people. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. Our prayer is that God will bless each of you listening right now as we look at a portion of His Word. This portion is located in the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Why not open your Bible to this reference as we go to our lesson with Dr. Hubbard?
We're studying the life of the Lord Jesus as set forth in the Gospel of Mark. Beginning with verse 14 of Mark chapter 6, there is a parenthesis here which has to do with the ministry of John the Baptist. That ministry, of course, was an effective ministry, for John the Baptist, that mystery man who was associated with Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, was used by God in order to prepare the way for the coming of the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. John was a man totally committed to the Lord God Jehovah. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. And as he loved the Lord with all of his heart, he spoke the truth and he stood by the truth. The time came when John had to stand in opposition to Herod and his illicit relationship with the woman whom he took in marriage, a woman by the name of Herodias. You see, Herodias had been the wife of Herod's half-brother Philip. A seductive act took place, and Herod took Herodias to be his own wife. This was an open scandal, even in the sexual looseness which permeated the society, at least among that level of society in John's day. But John thundered out against this licentiousness. He thundered against this sin. Herodias became a sworn enemy of John the Baptist. I'm sure that it was through her prodding that Herod finally consented and had John the Baptist arrested. John was put into the prison of Machaerus, and this is where we pick up the lesson today. Remember now, we've suggested to you that there are three special areas about the life of John that we've been investigating. Two we've already searched, one having to do with John's life in public, the second having to do with John's life in prison. Now, the third lesson we begin today, and it has to do with John in paradise, or how he suffered for the truth. I'm beginning to read now, beginning with verse 21 of Mark chapter 6. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and danced, and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by, in a charger or on a platter, the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. And he brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. So Herod's birthday came, and he gave a party which was held at Machaerus. What a birthday party that was! It was one of the most infamous birthday parties in all of recorded history. At the party to which Herod had invited the outstanding leadership of his kingdom, the real power behind the scene was obviously Herodias, the wife of Herod. Notice with me, first of all, how she used her opportunity to attack her husband's prisoner. I wonder if the idea of holding the party in such a macabre place as that palace came from Herod, or did it come from Herodias? Is it not within the realm of reason that Herodias may have suggested the location, knowing that John the Baptist was a prisoner there, and that something might occur that she could use to attack her husband's prisoner? Whether it was her suggestion or not, the fact that the party was to be held there certainly gave her opportunity to make some plan on the life of John the Baptist. Her anger directed toward him knew no bounds. She would not be satisfied with anything less than John's head on a platter. So Herodias would use her opportunity to attack her husband's prisoner. The next thing that we can observe from the text before us in the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel is that Herodias used her daughter to arouse her husband's passion. And so in the course of the party, when the minds of the men had become stirred by much consumption of alcohol, her daughter danced before Herod and his men. We begin to read this in the text. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. That's Mark 6:22. Certainly with the licentious dance that Herodias's daughter performed, it must have sexually aroused the men. In the text, there is no shame on the part of Herodias to use her daughter so, and there is no shame in the daughter herself to be so used. The poison of alcohol and the passion of lust joined together in that one mad, incredible moment. Reason was lost. Conscience was stifled. The offer was made by Herod himself that the daughter could ask anything she would, even to the half of his kingdom. It was preposterous what he had offered. And of course, one must conclude that his reason had become dulled and his conscience had become stifled, not only by the poison of the alcohol which he had consumed in quantity, but also with a passion which had been aroused in him by the licentious dance of Herodias's daughter. Thus we read in verse 22 of Mark chapter 6 the statement by Herod, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." Isn't it interesting, too, that the offer that he made was offered in front of those who were associated with him? It was not made in a private place. It was made in a public place. And of course, it was made in such a way that he could not retract from it without losing face. When Herodias knew that Herod had made such an offer, for her daughter left the dancing hall and evidently brought this information to her, we know this because we read in Mark 6:24 the following, "And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist." When the daughter of Herodias came out to ask Herodias herself, what was it for which she should ask, in keeping with the promise made by Herod that he would grant any request, even under the half of his kingdom, the die was cast. There would be no turning back now. The issue, frankly, had gone beyond recall. Yes, Herodias had used her opportunity to attack her husband's prisoner, and she had used her daughter to arouse her husband's passion. Now notice, please, that Herodias used her guests in order to assure her husband's promise. Can you imagine the vindictiveness? Can you imagine the murderous intent locked away in the heart and in the mind of this despicable woman who would use the occasion in order to murder another person? Herodias said to her daughter, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway, Mark 6:25 says, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. So Herodias had told her daughter, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, and it was only a matter of where, and it was only a matter of when. The request in and of itself was revolting, to actually decapitate a prisoner and to bring the head all by itself on a platter into a festive occasion where there had been food served as well as alcohol consumed. When the request was made, it had an immediate sobering effect on Herod. Verse 26 says, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Yes, Herod was sorry now, but such sorrow is always too late. How frequently individuals lose control of themselves, either because their senses have been dulled through drunkenness or their passions have been aroused to the point of lust, to the point of vehemence. Afterward, he would be sorry, but it's too late for that now. Such sorrow is always too late. He had made his promise publicly in the presence of his guests. He could not go back on his promise, or else he would lose face. And in that society back in that day, to lose face could never be tolerated. And so the executioner was sent forth, and his gruesome trophy was returned to lay at the feet of Herodias. And so the executioner's axe ended the life of John the Baptist, one of the most noble of God's choice servants. But John was willing to suffer for the truth. The disciples of John came when they heard about his martyrdom and took his body and lovingly, tenderly buried it. But was that all? Is that the last of the record? Two important observations must be made as we come to the close of today's Bible study. Remember, please, that it was not an end for John, but a beginning. The moment that John died, he was instantly transported to paradise. Paradise, then, was described by Jesus in Luke chapter 16. John's death was the end to his physical life, as he then knew it, but it was the beginning to his life beyond death as God then gave it. What an entrance into glory John the Baptist must have had. And notice, please, that it was not the end for John, but the beginning. But also note that it was not as a victim that John the Baptist died, but as victor. John the Baptist was not overcome, he overcame. Let the Herods and the Herodiases of life play their cruel games. The believer has overcome. He died in faith, and there is no greater way to die. And so Herod had silenced John, or so he had thought, but Herod could not silence his conscience. There was peace for John the Baptist, but there was a living hell for Herod. The memory of what might have been will continue to haunt that man throughout eternity. Father, grant to us the courage to stand by the truth, no matter what might come. For Jesus' sake, amen.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.